Our scripture is taken from 2 Kings, the second chapter, verses 9 through 12. This is talking about Elijah and Elisha. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you." Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued and talked, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. I would invite you, if you are able, to please kneel as we have prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath day, that we can be here to worship, that we are in this house of yours. We ask that you would be with us today. We ask that you would be with those who are watching online, that they will also have a blessing today. We ask, Father, that you would guide us in all the things that we are doing and saying, that we can be a witness to those around us, to those in this community, to let them know how much you love them and that Jesus is coming soon. But Father, this morning, sometimes it's hard for us to ask for the Holy Spirit. As we read in Romans 8:29, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And so, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit will take our words and make them into the beautiful things that you would want to hear. We ask that you would be with Eurides this morning as he presents this word, as we listen, that our hearts will be opened to understand, to remember, to be able to share with others. And we thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
How long has it been? Thank you, Kimberly and Colleen, for sharing your music. That was beautiful. Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. I am really happy to be here today. I heard that you had a wonderful Sabbath with Rod up here last Sabbath. I also heard he didn't like my excuse, so I'm sorry about that. Yes, too bad for you. We had a beautiful boy last Friday, last week, and praise the Lord. That is my praise this morning. He was born healthy, thankfully. Hannah had a C-section. It was all just for safety, and she's recovering well. So thank you so much for your prayers and for your good wishes. I don't think I had actually thank you all properly for the baby shower as well. Everyone who showed up and contributed, thank you so much. We were really, really blessed with your gifts and your generosity. We appreciate it a lot. Another praise I have, I managed to pass Hebrew and development of SDA theology. So praise the Lord. I got B's on both of my classes. Or some of you know, I had been struggling a little bit with it. This term, which was Hebrew 2, I passed Hebrew 1, which allowed me to go into Hebrew 2. I didn't have to learn a lot about, grammar, but I had to keep learning vocabulary, and it was deeper translation. So it was bigger chunks of translations, and it was challenging because I'm not really good at learning vocabulary really fast. So it's going to take time for me to keep learning. I'm still learning and studying my vocabulary. So I praise the Lord that I managed to pass. And I just want for him to use that knowledge so I can bless my church and my ministry with it. One of the translations we were doing, the last one, was Isaiah 53, which was really hard because Isaiah is poetry. So it's not just someone telling a story that happened, but it's like there's so many expressions. And as I translated, I realized the gift that it is to understand the original language. Because when we read Isaiah 53 by itself, in the Bibles we have today, it's just beautiful, right? Like we get to see Jesus and his suffering. But going deeper into the language, my tears were falling down as I was translating. I was like, this is way more beautiful. You know, with all the translations, when we get it into English, it loses the beauty of its poetry, and some of the words are not changed, but it's not the same translation. And when I got to see the real suffering of Jesus Christ, I was like, I am really blessed that I am able to do this now to also bless my church members. So praise the Lord for that. In my long experience as a dad now, 9 days, that is, I was talking to my friend and he said that would be a great introductory phrase for my sermon, so I'm using it. I have learned that we can never have enough of God and the Holy Spirit. And that is what the sermon for today is about. And the title is, How Much Do You Want? How many times have you asked yourself, how much of God, how much of Jesus, how much of the Holy Spirit do you want in your life? One answer for that question is, we can never have too much of it, ever. And I'm going to keep asking this question throughout the sermon. Then how much do you want? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath you have given us. And we pray for your Holy Spirit that we may feel your presence today as we open the Bible, as we study, as we go deeper into it. Please talk to us and help us understand that we need more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles on the 2 Kings chapter 2. And let us put ourselves into context. I like context. Context is important when we are studying the Bible. We understand the message in its right context. And that's a lot of use of that word. This is the story of Elijah when he was going to heaven and someone who was following him, Elisha. So let's read on verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and Your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, Yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to Elisha, Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, As the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him again, Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you, from over you today? So he answered, Yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you not, it shall not be so. And let us stop right there. What we're seeing right here is a very important event in both of the lives of these two prophets of Israel. The first one, Elijah, he had carried his ministry throughout Israel. He had worked for God, and God had promised him at some point to take him to heaven. And that was a great thing. Just as God took Enoch to heaven, God had promised this prophet, Elijah, as well, I'm going to take you. And he had been working and waiting. And it is important to notice, we don't have time to study his whole story and go read it, but if you read 1 Kings, you're going to find that at some point, Elijah even wanted to die. He didn't even want to go to heaven with God when he had been promised that. He had suffered so much working for God that he said, I'm not worth it. Let me just die here. But God promised him something even greater. And so he was about to be taken. And as he prepared himself, he was going from place to place, preaching and letting people know that his ministry was coming to an end and that God was going to take him. And people were really sad he was leaving. And his servant, Elisha, was following him. He didn't want to lose him. So this is what we're seeing here. And not only we're seeing Elijah getting ready to be taken up from heaven, but then Elisha, he wants to carry on the ministry of his master. He's saying, if you are leaving, who's going to take care of Israel? Who's going to carry on the message? Who's going to take care of God's people? I want to do that. So I want to learn from you, and I want to follow you. So this is what's happening here. Elisha is following his master wherever he goes because he wants to learn as much as possible, and he wants to be prepared to carry on the ministry he's been called to. So why was Elijah taken? Why did God take him up to heaven when his ministry was great and he wasn't too old to keep working for God? Why was he taken? Some people say that probably it was because God wanted to encourage the prophets, to some of the prophets. Remember how they have the school of the prophets, and this is what Elijah was doing. He was visiting all these places or these little towns where the school of the prophets were established, and he wanted to teach them and to let them know that he was leaving, but he wanted to encourage them. Hey, keep on following God. This is a perverse generation, and where they were worshiping idols and where the kings were being evils, and Elijah had fought with kings already. And so there was a mess within the people of Israel. And these are people that God was using to keep carrying on the message of the gospel and to keep carrying on the message of, you know, standing with the truth. So Elijah is encouraging them. Some people say that maybe God wanted to prove that there's another life after this. This is not the end. What other people think is the end when people die, this is not the end. God had promised eternal life for us. God had promised freedom from death. And Elijah's story and how he was taken up to heaven is a good example to us. And it proves that God will fulfill his promise. Something else is that this is a type and a figure of the ascension of Christ and the opening of the kingdom of heaven to all believers, symbolizing that Jesus went up to heaven and opened up the doors of heaven for all of us so that we are able to go up and spend time with him. He said in John chapter 14 that he was going to prepare a place for us. And that place we can achieve, whether we die and we resurrect when Jesus comes, or whether we are awake and waiting for Jesus and alive. We are seeing that place, and this story let us know that God's word is true. So what we see here is that God had determined to take Elijah into heaven, and he would do it. Elijah was sure that was going to happen, and so probably the sons of the prophets didn't know how it was going to happen. Elisha didn't know either. But Elijah knew what God has promised to him. So he trusted God. And he knew that his time was near. So he was getting ready. Just as Elijah was getting ready because he knew what God has promised to him, we as a church have a greater promise: the second coming of Jesus Christ. The question is, are we getting ready for that? The time is drawing near. Jesus is coming. And we can see the signs of the times. The question is, are we getting ready for that? Just as Elijah was getting ready, we are called as a church to get ready for his second coming so we can go up to heaven just as Elijah did. We also see that Elisha had determined to follow Elijah wherever he went. He wanted to learn. We already mentioned that. He wanted to be prepared. What happened while he was following? We already read that the sons of the prophets in each town came and approached him. And, hey, do you know that your master is going to be taken from you today? And he was like, yeah. So be quiet. I know. And people studying this chapter have realized that when he asked him to be quiet, it wasn't because he was being mean to them, but because he was grieving, because he was losing his master, because he was losing his friend, and he didn't want to lose his friend. And so he knew already, and he was following his master everywhere, and it was probably too much for him that people kept reminding him, hey, he's going to be taken from you. Stop following him. He was like, no. Be silent. I need to follow him wherever he goes. I want to learn as much as I can. And so in verse 9, chapter 2, we read again, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. What does this mean? If we read the Bible, the rest of 2 Kings, we don't see anything extra special about Elisha that was double in proportion to the power of the prophet Elijah. So what was he really asking here for when he asked for a double portion of the of his spirit? It wasn't so much that he had extra power to work and to perform miracles, but he needed extra of the Holy Spirit to keep working and to keep carrying on the ministry. Because again, it was a perverse generation that they were working on. And the sons of the prophet needed someone really strong to guide them. And he needed strength to also keep working for God. So he's saying, I want to have extra power. I need extra energy. I need extra of the Holy Spirit so I can keep working and carrying this ministry on. He wasn't asking, I want to be greater than you. I want to be a greater prophet. I want a greater blessing that you're receiving right now by being taken up to heaven. He just wanted extra of the Holy Spirit so he could keep working. And that is the lesson we learn from it too. The question again, how much do we want? Do we want just a double portion? Do we want more than that? Certainly, we live in worse times than Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha knew that he needed extra power from the Holy Spirit to keep working. And if we live in worse times, I guess that we need even more power from the Holy Spirit. So Elijah replied, you have asked a difficult thing. And by saying that Elisha had asked for a difficult thing, he wasn't saying, hey, this is going to be hard for me to give you a double portion. Because, again, Elisha is not asking. He's not saying, hey, you give me your spirit. He's saying, let me inherit a double portion. And this word, the inheritance, what he's asking in the double portion, literally in the Hebrew means it's the blessing of the first son, the firstborn, which I just had my first son. So we know how the blessing went to the firstborn of the family and he inherited everything. This is the same expression in here. So Elisha wanted to carry on the ministry. It's the only thing he's asking. Now, Elijah is not saying it's going to be hard for you to be the one God chooses. But his expression is as saying, I am impressed that you're asking for that. Because guess what? Elijah just asked him, what is it that you want from me? I mean, you've been following me town after town. You've been asking people to be quiet and to be silent when they remind you that I'm leaving. What is it that you want? He could have asked for money. He could have asked for servants. He could have asked for recognition. But he didn't ask for any of that. He said, let a double portion of your spirit follow me. And Elisha is saying, it's a hard thing. In other words, it's a great thing what you're asking. God was in charge of making that happen, not Elijah. And so by him replying this way, he's opening space and room for the Holy Spirit to work and for God to work on Elijah. If you really want this, then, he says, you have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. If you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not. And as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elijah saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elijah saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. He certainly saw him living. He asked, what do you want? He replied, I want a double portion of your spirit. He said, this is a hard thing. If you see me when I'm taken from you, if you really, really want a double portion of this Holy Spirit, you need to be on the lookout. And if you get to see me, then maybe it will happen. If not, probably miss it. But Elisha was determined to receive that double portion. And he kept his eyes on the goal until he saw that promise fulfilled. And sure enough, we keep reading the story. And what happened with Elijah? He received a double portion of the Spirit. He really received the prophetic ministry he was asking for. Just as you keep reading, well, at the end of that verse, verse 12 in here, we said that he cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elijah saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. What does that mean? He was grieving. Remember how people went and dressed themselves in sackcloth and poured stuff on their head. And he was just grieving that he had lost his master. But he didn't stop there. When he was crying, my father, or my master, or the person who's guiding me, he's taken from me. I'm grieving now. And he tore his clothes into two. We have to first go back to 1 Kings chapter 19. And this is the call of Elijah. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12 pair. So Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. So Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elijah left him and went back, and he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. So what we're seeing here is that when Elijah called Elisha, he used his garment to call him. And when Elijah was going to heaven, his garment that was a sign of him being called to be just a servant now was a sign of him being the one taking the ministry for God. And after he became Elijah's servant, they developed this relationship. That's why we see him calling him my father, my father. Then we go back to 1 Kings chapter 2 and 13 and 14 after Elijah had been taken to heaven. Elijah then picked up Elijah's cloak, the symbol that he had received the ministry and he had seen him, that had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And what we're seeing here is a beautiful fulfillment of God's promise that he was going to be with Elijah. When he takes the garment and he goes up to the Jordan, so Elijah had to go and cross the Jordan. He did that first, divided the water, and they crossed. And now Elijah had received a double portion. And he, not to prove that he had the double portion of it, but because he was sure that God was with him and he needed to carry on the ministry and he needed to cross the Jordan again, he immediately performed that miracle and the waters were divided. When we see the waters divided in here, what do we think of? Remember how many times God had divided the water before? Moses divided the Red Sea. And then God had divided the water when the priests were, you know, crossing with the ark for the people of Israel to cross and enter the land again. And now his master had just divided the water so they can cross. This was like the perfect sign for him that the Holy Spirit was with him and his ministry, dividing the water. And there is beautiful analogy, beautiful theology we can make from here, because it represents so much of Jesus dividing death and life. It represents Jesus dividing the water, dividing that border, that barrier that is separating us from God, so we can cross and we can enter into the presence of God. That is what Jesus is doing for us today, giving us access to God. And so we can see clearly that Elijah carried on his ministry. Elijah, first, if we have read the story, we can go 1 Kings chapter 17. You're going to read the story of Elijah multiplying the oil and the flour of a widow who had just little. And he asked her, can you please cook something for me? She was like, I don't have anything. I just have a little handful of flour and a little bit of oil. My son and I will eat that and die because we don't have anything else. And he said, you know what? God won't let you die. Go and prepare food for me. And she did so, and she trusted him. And after that, the oil and the flour just kept overflowing, and they had to eat for several and several days. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, just after Elijah had been taken to heaven, Elijah is carrying on the ministry, and he finds a widow who's in need of money to pay her rent and everything. And Elijah said, okay, go find one of your, one of your cattle in the kitchen and bring it to me. And so the oil overflowed for her as well. He was just doing the exact same thing his master did because he had received the double portion of it. Now the question is for us, again, how much do you want? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. I have talked on this verse several times. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians says that God is able to do what? Immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And sometimes we limit ourselves and we ask just a little bit when we can ask for even more of that. And God wants us to ask for more. And it might sound a little bit presumptuous, like sometimes we should be conformed with what we have. Well, we're blessed. God has blessed us so much. I don't have a need to ask for more gold. Guess what? God is asking us, or God is telling us, God wants us to ask for more. Not necessarily material things, because we might be blessed with material things. We might have our job, we might have enough money to live on. What is it that God wants us to ask for? The Holy Spirit. And if we see more scripture, John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus has an encounter with the Samaritan woman, and she's getting water out of the well, and Jesus is thirsty, and Jesus asks for water, and she is all focused on that he is a Jew, she's a Samaritan, they shouldn't be talking, and Jesus is telling her, actually, guess what? If you knew the gift of God, and who is it that is asks you for a drink, you will have asked him, and he will have given you living water. And he keeps saying that this living water that he's going to give her, he says, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here and draw water again. And she was kind of understanding, but not fully understanding what Jesus was telling her. Because Jesus wasn't talking about physical water. Jesus was talking about the spiritual water he was giving her. But he's saying, if you knew who I am, I will give you from this water, and you will thirst no more. And so what's the problem? I've been walking in the desert for, 2 days now. The water supply I brought with me ran out. And I found a person who's got endless supply of water. I'm thirsty. I haven't drank water in the last 2 days. I'm dehydrated. And the person tells me, you can have as much water as you want. And I'm going to ask for, well, let me have just a little bit. I drink this little bit of water. I haven't drank anything in 2 days. I'm dehydrated. Is this going to be enough? Is there more water available for me? Has the person told me that I can have as much as I want? Perhaps I should ask for a little more. And so just a little bit, I'm going to ask for a full cup. Because why not? There's enough, and I can. So I have a full cup of water. I drink it. I'm still thirsty. What do you think I should do? I should probably get another cup of water and drink it until I'm satisfied, right? Once I am satisfied and I have my cup with me, shouldn't I just take another cup and take it for along the way with me? Doesn't that seem logical that I'll having enough water, look, I should take another cup to take with me along the road? But not only that, maybe I saw someone that was walking behind me in the desert. If I'm satisfied and I take this cup and I find that person again and I have my cup of water, I can perhaps share with that person. But if I don't take it from the water, I can, and that person doesn't know how to find the water, then I'm not being wise. And so it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. When we come to pray, how much do we ask for? Do we ask for just a little bit? Do we ask to be filled with it? To be satisfied for the day? Do we ask for extra of the Holy Spirit so we cannot just be satisfied, but we can share the Holy Spirit with others? I'm going to tell you something. There's not a problem on doing this when we ask for the Holy Spirit. What do you think? There's not a problem in asking that we overflow with the Holy Spirit. That wherever we go, whether it's in our family, our jobs, our work, the store, with our neighbors, we are always overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and others can be blessed by our connection with God. I'm going to ask you again, how much do you want? The Bible keeps saying, Matthew chapter 6, 7 through 13, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you what? Before you ask. So when we come to ask, for the Holy Spirit, God already knows that we need it. So he's willing to give us his Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he says, your kingdom come. What is he actually telling us? And we have studied this prayer with Pastor Don several times. When we see this, God is telling us to ask. Ask for God's kingdom to come, right? Ask for his will to be done. Ask for your daily bread, what you need every day. God is telling us, you need to ask. Yes, you have enough, but I want you to ask. God wants us to ask. God wants us to ask for forgiveness. God wants us to ask for protection so we are not put into temptation with the enemy. God wants us to ask for deliverance from the chains that are tying us for sin. What we see here is Jesus telling us, when you pray, you ask. The Bible says there's nothing wrong in asking. There's so many people who say, oh, when we pray, we shouldn't be asking so much. We should be praising the Lord for what we have. But the Bible also says that we need to ask. Because we don't just need enough so we can be satisfied. We need more so we can overflow. And that is why the Bible says you need to keep asking. And when you have, you need to keep asking. Because when you have enough, then you can share with others and then you can bless others. How much do you want? Matthew chapter 7, next chapter. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks what? Receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? God wants us to ask. And the question is, when we ask, how much are we asking for? Are we limiting ourselves to our little box that we have created to be, this is just what we need, this is just enough? Or are we thinking outside that box? The prophets or the apostles, when Jesus had gone up to heaven, Acts chapter 1, 6, to when Jesus was going up, this is what was happening. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What was going on here? Jesus had been teaching them about the kingdom of God. And in their minds, they were limited to this government, to this physical kingdom here on earth. And even after seeing Jesus' death and resurrection and how he actually had power over death and how he had taught them about the kingdom of God being spiritual, they were still confused. And so they're asking, now that you have gained like all the power, we see that you are really powerful, are you finally becoming our king? Are you going to make Israel a great kingdom? Jesus says, you don't need to know about that. In other words, you don't even know what you're asking for. And so, very many times, we don't know what we're asking for. But it's okay. As Colleen was saying in her prayer, Romans says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us so we can ask for the right thing. And when they ask the wrong thing, when we ask the wrong thing, Jesus said, but even though you're asking for the wrong thing, guess what? You're asking. So I'm going to give you and you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us not be discouraged because we're asking and because sometimes we don't know what to ask or how we're asking. Jesus will still bless us, but he wants us to ask. And again, how much do you want? Ellen White says the following, this is my closing thought today. Since this is the means by which we are to receive power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach concerning it? The Lord is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who serve him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker should offer his petition to God. Companies of Christian workers should gather to ask for a special help for heavenly wisdom, that they may know how to plan and execute wisely. Especially should they pray that God will baptize his chosen ambassadors in mission fields with a rich measure of his Spirit. The presence of the Spirit with God's workers will give the proclamation of trust a power that not all the honor or glory of the world could give. Dear brothers and sisters, I pray today that we learn to ask. I pray today that we learn that God wants us to ask. Do not get conformed. The Bible is telling us that when we pray, we need to ask for more so that we have enough and so that we can share with others. Let us pray more for the Holy Spirit. Let us pray more for healing. The world needs healing today. Let's pray for love between one another within the church and outside in our communities as well. Let's pray for unity so that the Lord can find us praying together and working for Him together. Let's pray for understanding of the Bible and His Word. Let's pray for the missions of our church going around the world preaching and telling people about Jesus, people spreading the gospel in places where they don't know anything. Let us pray to be prepared for His second coming so that we may be able to, just as Elijah did, we may be able to go into heaven and enjoy time with Jesus. Let us pray for a desire to be a witness wherever we go, in our communities, in our families, in our schools, that we may be used by the Holy Spirit. And if someone asks me, how much do you want, Euridice? I will reply with the hymn, More About Jesus. And it says, more about Jesus will I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus in His word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on His throne, riches in glory all His own, more of His kingdom's sure increase, more of His coming, Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. Father in heaven, I pray for my church in this morning. I pray for each and every one of us. May You bless us. May You grant us the desire to ask for more of the Holy Spirit. You want us to ask. And we learned today that we need to ask every day for a double portion or even more. So I pray that You may Your Holy Spirit overflow today and every day in us so that we may help carry on this ministry, this message of love and salvation in this world that is lost. Please be with our church members, wherever they are, those who need healing. Be with them. Heal them. And we pray not just for the smoke to be gone, Lord. Let's pray for more. Let's pray for the fires to be stopped. Let's pray for protection for our towns and for our people who are suffering. Just give us more of You, O Lord. Give us more of Your Holy Spirit. And thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.